Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God is coming back, folks. Jesus Christ will be here soon, and imminently soon will he be here. He's going to be here. He's going to meet us in the clouds just like he said. Now, I thought I was prepared for the rapture. Which, you know, whenever he come, I'm going with him. But the Lord made me aware of something very important. One thing he said this morning, he said, I'm going to prepare you for the rapture. I said, prepare me for the rapture. Now, this is different than what you may think. You know, some people, the Lord said to me in 2017 to tell my people to be, my return is imminent, be ready that they be not left. And many people are focused on not being left, but actually, when you're looking for the Lord, for his return, that's a purification process all by itself. But that's not what he was talking about. It's the mental preparation, and also the heart preparation of, it's not that you're not ready, but he's been dealing with me about facts. See, when people are gone, he said to me one time, he said, when I rapture my people on earth will be looking for their people on earth, and people in heaven will be looking for their people in heaven. But have you ever stopped to think about the shock of the rapture? Just think about it a minute. The shock of the rapture. He's only going to take people who are ready. He's going to only take the five wise virgins, so to speak. People that are ready to meet Jesus. People that can live in his glory. If a person has strife in their life, for instance, he can't rapture them. They got strife in their life. They're not, you know, they're operating under the world's order. And people that allow the world in their heart, people that are lukewarm, he already said that he would spit them out if they didn't repent. And he made me know, and I did a lot of lessons last year about, especially toward the end of last year, about lukewarm. It was shocking to me what I learned about lukewarm people. And toward the end of the summer, so to speak, you know, he dealt with me a lot about lukewarm believers, and he gave me much revelation. And you have to go to the audio page 6, and it's still there. And use it while the internet still works. Because things are, you know, I expect things to change. And I pray that God will keep that internet working long enough for his people to get what they need. And before and after the rapture. Because people will get saved after the rapture. I know this. That's biblical. But they're going to have a very difficult time. But people that are not ready to go, it's because they are lukewarm. And he gave the revelation. One of the things he said about a lukewarm person is that they're the opposite of, they're unfruitful. So they're the opposite of Jesus. And Jesus said, take heed. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. But the Lord also revealed to me that lukewarm people are tares. They won't repent. One day he said, you can't get a lukewarm person to repent at this point. And, you know, I really believe that that's what God told me. So, hey, back in 2016, he started dealing with me about these kind of things. But see, that was a lot of opinions I already had. But when I kept seeking the Lord, he corrected me on a lot of things. But today he said, in this preparation, you know, it's going to be a shock the moment the rapture happens and after that. Do you realize Paul said that the dead in Christ will rise first, which means that everybody buried in graves, and you know, if they went to church and they said they were Christians, we took them at their word. Okay, you're a Christian. But only those who are really in Christ will rise. People that we thought were Christians may not be Christians. They may not, they may have had things in their heart that shouldn't be. Only those who are the five wise virgins will live. The Lord Jesus had to give us that example, because the 10 virgins, that means that they were, the word virgin represent, at least they were not following another religion. They were 10 virgins, but 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Even though you're not running after a false god, if they have the love of the world in them, then God can't rapture them. They're not going to be ready when their Lord comes. When the bridegroom came, they wasn't ready to meet him. And I've heard people, good men of God, teach that, well, you know, they had a way of putting it so that even if you were not doing what you were supposed to, you're still going to make it. But that's not the way it is. You know, there's a lot of scriptures that if you slow down and just let the word say what it's saying. You know, before I leave, the Lord had me looking at Ecclesiastes 12. And the last part of it was, consider these things. Now, I'm going to read the last part before I go to 1 Peter. All right. Now, Solomon explained what it's like to grow old, and you're at the end of your days. All right, verse 12 says, "And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh." Okay, knowledge is wonderful and good, and you should aspire to get it. You should contend for the faith and seek to know all you can. But watch this part. Where Solomon, now Solomon's, he was given wisdom, and watch what he said. See, many books can be written, many points can be proven, but let's simplify this thing. Verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And remember, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Don't get off track. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And the last verse says, verse 14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Now today the Lord told me, he said, "I deal with facts." Facts, F-A-C-T-S, not emotion. The people that will, one time the Lord told me this, he said, when the rapture happened, not one mistake will be made. Consider these things. Now, this is over a period of months. Not one mistake will be made. He said, people on earth will be looking for their people on earth, and people in heaven will be looking for their people in heaven. And sometimes they'll find them. Thank God for that in heaven. And the same is true on earth. Thank you. That's terrible when they find their loved ones that they thought was raptured. And that goes for both of them. Not being raptured is very terrible. But Peter's made a statement, and it's very important that we understand it. He said, verse 18. 1 Peter 4:18. He said, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Before that, he said this. He said, verse 16, yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, when you read Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas in jail, they're worshiping God. They're not being treated right, fairly, or good. So, but they're worshiping God. They fulfill this verse 16. They glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at us, what shall the end of them that are obey not the gospel of God? Let me read that again. I kind of stumbled it. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? They're not obeying the gospel of God. So God has to deal with this fact. And he deals with facts. Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved. The righteous scarcely be saved. Now that's amazing. Many times people just preach people in heaven, whether they're going or not. It's a serious thing to love God and obey God and get saved and live the life of God. There's no reason to sin. He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. The Lord does know how to keep us in him. And I remember when I first got saved, older Christians used to say, they were in their prayers, Lord, keep me. Now, that's wisdom. There was a time that, you know, I said, well, you know, God going to keep you. I kind of took it for granted in them days. I said, God ain't going to let nothing happen to me. That's, you know, but praying for God to keep you on the narrow path is wisdom. Because there are many distractions, many traps. Now, we covered last week how we taught in First John chapter 2. If you get in darkness, you can't tell. You can't see. But you have to stay in the love of God. That's how we fulfill the law. And it's not about, I'm not one of those trying to promote holiness, legalism, you know, salvation by works and deeds. That's another animal. I'm talking about receiving salvation and learning of the Lord, living according to his love. That's how we fulfill the law. If you try to make sure you don't break a law all day, if you try not to break a law, that's a miserable way to live. I preached that for years. That's one of the most miserable things you can do to yourself. But let's get to the point of it. Fear God and keep his commandments. Jesus, you know, now in Saul's day, that's Old Testament. They were people who feared God. They stayed out of trouble. They didn't worship idols. They didn't practice illicit sex. They did what they were supposed to. And if they sinned, they went to the priest and did what they were supposed to. They didn't want sin in their life. That's the only. See, this is not something you can be double-minded about, carefree about, and presumptuous about. Jesus said, if a man put his hands on the plow and looked back, he's not worthy of salvation. Looking back to the nasty world, Lot's wife did that. She turned to salt. Why can't people remember? You need to be wholehearted. I read the book of Enoch, the real book of Enoch. There's three of them, but this one is real because it points to Christ. So I got the authentic one in the Apocrypha. I bought it from Steve Quill, and it's a legitimate book. It was referred to in Scripture. The book of Jasher and the book of Enoch was referred to by Jude. And I read the scriptures around the one Jude quoted. But one thing that at the end of the book, when he talked about the dreams, he warned his people that loved God not to be half-hearted. And that's what people are going to miss out. They're half-hearted. If they're half-hearted, then they're not the same. You cannot be half-hearted about the things of God. You have to be wholehearted. You have to walk in the love of God. It's just the way to live. You have to stay in light. Adam, you know, you can't go and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and live forever. Something had to happen. Jesus had to come and die because the first Adam blew it. And I love Adam. I know that he got it right. That's why I say Adam was at the zero line. Or I put it this way. He was at sea level. Okay. He was righteous. But God don't make you grow up. That's up to you. But he told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Which suggests go and learn how life works. Use the examples God give. Stay focused on life. Fear God. Keep his commandments. You'll be safe. It's not hard. You don't have to read a dozen books and 12-step programs. You just have to be saved through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And people refuse to do that. They do other things. They do it the way that, you know, remember, some of the preachers are taught by tares. Some of the preachers are tares. And then we grow from glory to glory. If you stick to the love of God, you can't fail. If you stick to the fear of the Lord, you'll never have a problem learning. If you stick with God, if you can take God at his word on everything, you'll be well versed on what to watch out for. And when you don't know, and this has happened to me, when you really don't know what's the best road, you know the character of God and you still won't fall. And the Lord have helped me. If I told everything that happened to me, some people might think I'm trying to show off. Some people might think that I'm exaggerating. But I know for a fact the Lord was with me and he kept me safe. And I kept out to him about it. That's one thing I didn't. I did right. If I didn't understand something, it didn't bother me if I didn't understand it that day. I'd do whatever I knew. I asked the Lord to help me and protect me. And I didn't trust my own wisdom or knowledge or understanding. And there were times that I did. There were times that I actually failed. But I didn't sin against God on purpose. There were times that I misunderstood things. There were times that under temptation, I always took the way out. God always provided me a way out, and I always took it. Glory to God. He always he kept me a step. When I was at my weakest points, he kept me a step ahead of the enemy. I can say that. But, you know, if a Christian sin, it's because they decided to sin. It's not in their nature anymore. But you can sin. It's just not in your nature. When the Lord helped me to stand and not, when I was about to lose it in that fight, I was about to lose I had lost my temper. At my weakest moment, the Lord spoke and said, everlasting love, the love of man, whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And I was able to stand. And I loved that guy. I wasn't upset anymore. The word spoke that God spoke to me. It built me up again. And that's how I realized that the word gives you strength. You just have to receive it and act on it. It's not hard. You don't have to read a dozen books and 12-step programs to do this. You just got to love God. And it's easy to detect truth. So there are many scriptures just like what Paul wrote here. 1 Peter chapter 18. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? A lot of people look at Romans chapter 10. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. that's something that always stood out to me about Romans chapter 10, and nobody talk about it. Or I don't remember hearing anybody talk about this little detail. Romans 10:10. For with the heart, all right, verse 9. Let's look at verse 7. He said, "Or who shall descend into the deep?" That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. He's finishing another thought, but let's look at verse 8. "But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's true. Now watch verse 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." He believes unto righteousness. And that's the detail of the word unto. "And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You got to have faith in the heart. And you got to believe it in the heart and confess it with your mouth. And you're saved. And you can't let something take it from you. From the time that Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" Now he meant it. And he said it in strength. And he was changed. And he didn't go back. He wasn't double-minded or half-hearted. But this won't work for people that's half-hearted. If you're double-minded and half-hearted, you'll get confused. You got to have roots. Everything you believe about God, all the word that you've received is truth. It's got to grow roots in you. And you can't let something interfere with it, such as the thorns. The seed that fell among thorns. It chokes the word and the word can't do you any good. They become unfruitful. Okay, an unfruitful seed is a seed that can't produce. It can produce a plant, but not fruit. I got a lot of trees in my yard. My friend Dan is a farmer. Nothing would grow right but basil. I couldn't even get a tomato good. And I said, "Danny, I planted basil, I planted watermelon, I planted tomatoes. Nothing grow but basil." He said, "Well, you got too many trees. They're sucking the nutrients out the ground. You got to use a different, you know, if you had put the dirt in a bucket, you would have got it." All right. I got something worse than, you know, seed sown among thorns, and they suck up everything. I got trees. So when you let the world worry you and get in strife with people and won't forgive, then that's going to take all the energy from the word, and you'll be left without knowing it. It won't have roots in your heart anymore, or the nutrients of the word is being absorbed, choked, and it can't help you. And that doesn't need to happen. There's three reasons people become false prophets. It's three reasons people become backsliders. It's three reasons people go back to the world. It's three reasons people don't get saved in the first place. Well, to those that don't get saved, their heart is like the wayside heart. It's too hard to receive the word. So they don't get in. And then one reason people come in and go back out, the seed is on shallow ground. It's just a bunch of rocks in the ground. They grow up quick, but they don't have roots, and when the sun come up, they wither and die. And the others, just like Jesus said, sown among thorns, they can't produce fruit. They can't be like Jesus. They're not like Jesus. They become wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, like the lukewarm church. So God deals with facts, and he's been dealing with me about facts. And he's helping me do this so that I can be braced. Even when he come back, people I love and care about are going to be here. And he's helping me brace now. Think about it. God is wise in all of his ways. This is really going to happen. He's coming back this time. It's not going to be a big delay anymore. See, the Lord thinks of everything. He know what things, how things are going to be. And he's always kept me ahead of the curve if I was paying attention and receive what he had to say. Now, one thing about it is this. You have to receive truth in your heart. You can't be double-minded about the things of God. How can a man get saved? How can he believe with the heart? With the heart unto salvation, unto righteousness and salvation, if he's half-hearted about it. Think about it. How can it work? But watch verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As long as, if they're sincere, that they're going to call on. An insincere person will not call on God. They might call on him in it, but they're going back to what they love the most. Everybody's going to gravitate to what they love the most. Now, that's a fact. God deals with facts. But watch what it says, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You got to be sent. When God sends you, he's going to send you to people that will hear. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get saved. That's how we stay in Christ. That's how we develop. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now watch this now. Verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Moses, first Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. Talking about Gentiles. And by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold. And saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Understand this. I love Israel. Israel's salvation is Jewish. It was to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles, to Israel first. Israel was the covenant people. They were the servants. They were the covenant people. They knew about many things about God before the Gentiles. So you got people in the church that's been taught by preachers, and they've been schooled, and then they go back to the nasty old world. Now look what happened here. But to Israel, he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. You cannot let the ways of the world be part of you. God gave you a new nature. Keep your new wineskins filled with new wine. And don't put old wine in your new wineskins. Because it won't work. If you put new wine in old wineskins, it's going to break. It's not going to last. You're not going to have what you were after. So, same thing with salvation. You got to keep a good and honest heart. You got to do things God's way. You got to be wholehearted. Now watch verse. This is Romans 11 verse 1. This is a continuation of 10. It really should have stayed in that one. It should have been chapter 10. But anyway. Verse 1 says, I say then. See, it's following the last verse of Romans 10. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not that the scripture say, that what the scripture saith of Isaiah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, but I am left alone, and they seek my life. You know, Elijah, he's talking about Elijah. I said Isaiah, but it's really Elijah. I just saw the L in there. I'll read it again. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life to take it away. Now that's the full quote, because that's what he told God in 1 Kings, in the 1 Kings. Verse 4 says, But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Consider this now. God deals with facts. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And the remnant will be raptured. And if grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it. The elect, the sincere, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them up to a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. David said this way, Let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always.